Randy Brown is the kicking coach for the Baltimore Ravens, the football team, but he wants to bring back Main Street. So next week, it's called the Taste of Isham. It's $10 per person. This is not anything to do with the church. It's just what they're doing in the community. Between 1 and 4 o'clock, the local eateries, all the restaurants bring, like, I guess, food. Like, let's say a pizza place would chop up. You get, like, a small piece of pizza, and then you go to another place, and you kind of have food there. Just, it's $10. Now, I have to tell people, it's $20 with alcohol. So everybody in this room, we're doing a $10 plan. Is that okay? And I went, hey, Pastor! No. No, we talked about having Marlton t-shirts. I'm not sure who we want to. Anyway, $10. But you know what happens is I walk around and like the township officials say, hey, I see your church people there. People will take notice for supporting what they're doing. So if the weather's nice and you have to eat anyway, it's $10. If you don't have that money and just you like to do it, please see me or Pastor Rich or any of our pastors. We'll try to get you there. And they give you a little wristband. You can take an hour or two. Sometimes we'll bump into each other, high five. But whatever the township is doing, we want to have an active presence. That's next Sunday from 1 to 4 o'clock. Usually we have 100 people or so just walking around, milling around. It's a real blessing to the community. Another thing for young adults, high school graduates all the way up to age 29, we are having 3 dates on Thursday night, May 25th, June 29th, July 27th, from 6:30 to 8:30 at my house. We'll be playing we'll be playing volleyball. And I'm 45 years old, but I will still beat you down if you're in that age group. Barbecue. It's just going to be a fellowship time. We're having a transition of leadership. We just feel like during this time, college kids are home and all that stuff. I met a young lady who came to the church for the first time. I said, hey, I'm having something at my house, a young adult. She goes, I would love to meet new people. That's what it's all about, just kind of and having that time together. So you say, well, Pastor John, where do you live? I'm not telling you. I'm just telling them. Once in a while, I go outside my house and someone's driving slow by my house. They want to know where I live. I'm not telling you where I live. You can come over by invitation only, all right? There you go. So I'm going to keep that up there. If you're a young adult, you have someone a young adult, take a screenshot, save the dates. We'll be promoting that over the next couple of weeks. But we really do care about this age group. When you go to college, maybe you feel disconnected when you come home. But May 25th, June 29th, we try to stay off the weekend, but this will be a good time if you're in that age group, all right? So that helps us. Ushers, if you'll help us, want to bless the Lord, his church. This is also Mission Sunday. It's a real busy service, so we can't give too much attention this morning, but there is an insert in your program. And if you've made a missions faith promise back in November, or you just like to participate in our missions program, just mark your offering envelope. That would help us and help our missionaries as well. So no pressure, but we give. We're joyful in our giving. It's what Jesus does. He teaches us to be generous giving. So two things, your offering and your connection card when the offering comes around, and you can participate in some different ways. Father, we love you. Thank you for our children who sang and ministered. Thanks for our moms, Lord. And we look forward now to the preaching of your word. Thank you for the opportunities to connect with the things of God this morning. Thank you for a new beautiful day of weather and all the festivities and activities that will happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. So we honor our mothers this morning. Moms, once again, thanks for being here with your families. Hopefully they treat you right today. That's what it's all about. So we are in a sermon series simply entitled Stress. I made a mistake last week. I said that this would be the last message. Next week we'll actually finish up with this sermon series. But this morning, my wife is going to preach. Is that okay? I think that's okay. You could read that two ways, like, thank God you're not, or, but we said we do a tag team, and so we kind of thought it through and kind of started to make it happen. It just seemed like it was best to kind of go that direction. Let me share with you an opening scripture, Ephesians chapter 4:5, excuse me. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. My wife's going to preach a message on learning to say no. In a stressed out, busy world, even a suburban world, life comes fast at us with sports and responsibilities. How do you balance it all out? And if you balance it out, what you can do, and I would say you have to do, you should do, it will help your stress to go down. And if we were leaning on the Lord and trust Him. So my wife, obviously we have three daughters. She is also the principal of our Christian academy. We go from the age preschool, basically potty training. Some kids get in, if you know what I mean. Potty training all the way up to fifth grade. She's doing an amazing job. And I have to say this, she's a great pastor's wife. You know, it's not to compare, but this church, yeah, you can put your hands together. This church has great pastor wives. We got a great staff. We got multicultural, multigenerational, the whole bit, but we also have great support that kind of comes alongside it. We do life together, and my wife's going to minister God's word. Would you welcome Miriam Wegner? Come on, put your hands in the air. Okay. Look, we're matching. Is that good? All right. Not so excited. I am.
Happy Mother's Day. This year is a special one for us. So in the Wegner household, it's the first year where we have a daughter coming home from college. So Abby's home from college, and we get to reunite and have that. You know, there's different times, and there were times where all the kids were little, and that's, you know, taking care of their clothes and things like that. And now we're in a new stage, so this is a new one for us. But happy Mother's Day to all of you who are here. I thought with the day being as special as it is, maybe I could start with something special, do something a little different. So, Matt, if you could hit that, there's something you don't know, because my husband thinks he's the only one who raps. I've been practicing all week. All right, I got to get in the group. Maybe you can help me by clapping. Let's do that. Okay. All right, I got to think this through. All right, okay, I'm thinking it. Yeah. Wait a minute, you threw me off. See, he thinks he has a record, but I have my own, and I didn't let him hear this because I wanted him to feel how this feels. Are you ready? All right. No, turn it off. I'm just kidding. Do you not know me? I do not rap. But I wanted him to feel how it feels to be sitting there not knowing what's going to happen next. Next time. So it is a special day, and moms wear so many hats. We are doctor and counselor and cook, and there's so many things that we do. But for everybody in this room, the challenge today in this busy world is figuring out what God wants us to do and what God doesn't have us to do. How to say no in this busy, busy, busy life. So here's, we can't please everyone, right? We'll never make everyone happy. Our first priority is to make the Lord happy. So we're just gonna watch a little clip to get us started this morning.
It just, we have a tendency, we're not careful to pick each other apart.
that just how it is? We want to please everyone. We want to be the answer to everyone's need. And so we overcommit. And sometimes when we overcommit, that brings stress on. So how do we learn to say no? How do we learn to say what's right is for me and what I shouldn't do is not for me now? Here's what the Bible says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So listen, I don't do everything perfect. I know I don't get it all right. But here at Marlton Assembly of God, we have made it our goal to be followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. And so as a person who has to learn how to say no to some things and yes to others, what does Jesus want me to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Here's a good thing that Proverbs says to us in 19:2. It says, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. So we can want to be everything for everyone. We can want to be the yes person. We can want to please everyone. But here it says that enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. So how do I say no? How do I know when to say no? When is the right time to say? How do I learn to say no? It's by knowing what we need to say yes to. It's by knowing what the yeses are. So if I just go haphazardly trying to know, is this a yes or a no? That's the wrong place to start. We have to back up and say, Lord, what is the yes for me? What is the foundation? What do you want me to do? What has your word established for me? What are the norms in my life so that then I'll recognize the no's? They become so much more obvious when we know our yeses. So a couple things in our family, we have yeses. We have foundational belief system. Here's one. We go to church Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We go to church. The Bible says don't forsake gathering. We go to church. We don't debate it. We don't decide if we want to. We don't do it depending on what we did on Saturday. We go to church on Sunday morning. So because that's our foundational yes, that's our truth, what happens when we move to Marlton and the girls get into elementary and middle and they want to join lacrosse? And they want to join sports and they want to do this? And what happens? All of a sudden, our yes is challenged. But if we know our yes, we can determine our no's. So we're not ruling out all sports. Our kids have loved sports. They've been involved in school. But listen, there are some no's we've had to say because it contradicted the yes that we established. That's how we know what our no's are, because we have already determined what our yes is. For us, the Sabbath day, we have to have a day of rest. So when John and I first got married, we didn't have kids yet. We did not learn the lesson of saying, no, we need our Sabbath day. And so we just said yes to everything. Why not? We did it together. Why not? That caught up with us pretty quick. It started to unfrazzle us pretty fast to where we had to stop and say, there's a reason for that truth. The Lord put that into place for us. Take a Sabbath day. If Sunday's your Sabbath day, that day is for rest. So it's easier to see the no's that keep creeping in that you have to say no, because we know our yes is the Sabbath day. And these are different for everyone, aren't they? We don't all have the same challenges, but we can all have the same truth that establishes us in our yeses so that then we can say no more clearly. Lisa Turkers wrote this in her latest book. The one who obeys God's instruction for today will develop a keen awareness of his direction for tomorrow. The one who obeys God's instruction for today will develop a keen awareness of his direction for tomorrow. That's such a good truth. If we just understand what we're supposed to do today, what our yeses are, what God's asked us to do, we'll understand our no's and what clutters our life and brings in stress. So for me, sometimes I'm asking the Lord over here, should I do this? Should I do this? Lord, I need your audible voice. Should I do this? And sometimes I already know what I'm supposed to be doing. And so if I just gave in and did what I know to do right now, those no's would be so apparent And I could so easily discern them because I'm leaning on my yes. So God will help us to set our priorities. He will help us by knowing our yeses to say no to the things that are important, knowing our priorities. Number two, God promises us his presence throughout our lifetime. His presence will be with us. So in Psalm 31, it says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God, and my times are in your hands." So the funny thing about life is what is yes in the foundation is always solid. But there's some wiggle room there for what's yes today may not be yes tomorrow. And I have to ask the Lord, what is it that you have in this time for me? Not every situation is by choice. Maybe today you're in a situation where your yeses or no are determined by something you didn't ask for. Maybe it was a death in the family. Maybe you're a single mom today and your challenges are all different. You didn't ask for that. Maybe you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible, and the culture has gone to worshiping idols, and you don't want to worship idols. You're going to stand for the Lord. And so in the midst of the fire that you are placed, there's a third person there. There's another person there, and that's the presence of the Lord that's with you and able to give you comfort and direction. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, it talks about seasons in our life. We'll read that. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing." So even as we travel life's path, there's different seasons and different times for everything. You know, in my season, you know, when we were up in Newark, our kids were very small. So in that season of life, it was all about getting the kids dressed, no clothes on the front of their clothes, get in the church. If I was there within 3 minutes, I felt good about it. I wasn't perfect. But during that season, it was a hectic time. In fact, I remember at 5:30 every Sunday morning, John would get up and leave the house. He would go to the church. He would study. He would really, what he would end up doing is clean the bathrooms and then come back home. That was his thing. Sunday morning, he went in, he prayed, he cleaned the bathrooms. Then he would come home. And he would help me get all three ready so we could get out the door into church. That was that season. I tell you, if you have small kids, it's all about their physical needs. That's that season. But I'm in a different season now. So now my kids, they can take care, but I'm now in a place where I'm needing to help my mother, my mom. She's lost my dad. He passed away in November. And now she's at a different place in her life. So this season, my yeses change. I used to call her a couple times every couple days, or she would call me if she didn't hear from me. Now, a day doesn't go by that I don't call her at least once, if not twice a day, because it's another season. It's a different time. So my yes has changed to meet that need, but God's presence will direct us through that. And sometimes, I know my husband spoke on it a few weeks ago, stress can lead us to the Lord. Stress and the different season that we're in can direct us to the Lord and ask him, what does he want? I remember when we were expecting our third daughter, Bree. So I went to the ultrasound, and I happened to have to go by myself that time. John wasn't able to go with me, but they were going to tell me the gender. And we were kind of hoping maybe we'll get a boy, third, you know, child, maybe a boy. And I got there, and they said, "You got another girl coming." And I was like, "Okay." So I called John. I'm like, "It's a girl." And he goes, "You're kidding me." And I'm like, "No, it's a girl." And as I was there in the ultrasound, the attending got really quiet. And she just kept looking and looking. And then she goes, "You know what? Let me just take a moment and go get the doctor and look at this together." You know that's not good, right? When it gets real quiet and they keep looking, it's not good. So I start, you know, sweating bullets. You know, I'm a little nervous about what she's seeing. The doctor comes back in, they look, and they just simply said, "We don't see the heart chambers in the four chambers that we need to see. So we're just going to make an appointment. You're going to go down, 20-minute drive, go to a specialist, and we're going to check and make sure that the heart's okay with the baby." And I'm like, "Okay." I said, "Right now? Right this minute?" She was, "Right now. You're going to go right now." So that 20-minute drive, can you imagine? I got right with the Lord. I got close to the Lord. All of a sudden, all my priorities were different. I want a girl. I want a third girl. That's exactly what I want. Priorities change real quick when stress comes and you don't know what's going to happen and you reach out to the Lord. And that's one of the best things about serving Jesus, isn't it? That in your most fearful moment or your lowest moment, you can call out to Jesus and he's immediately there. His presence is with you. His help is right by you. You can actually be in a hospital bed, in a hospital room, not know what they're going to say, not know how your future looks, and you can feel the presence of the Lord come and sustain you. You can sing, what a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The Lord comes into the room and he's with you. His presence is sweet, isn't it? I wouldn't trade that for the world. If you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, can I tell you that you want to get to know the sweet presence of the Lord? Because it's not always easy, is it? We could go around this room and hear story after story of the challenges that we face in life. But the presence of the Lord comes in and directs us and helps us and reprioritizes what's important. It makes our yeses become solid. It makes where we stand and who we stand on become clear so that the no's become more evident and we can set them aside. God is so faithful. He's so good to us. But the seasons change. So I remember when we moved to Marlton and we got the kids into school, they were doing great, they were adjusting, and then we hit those great middle school years. You know what I'm talking about? Mature parents. So our kids are doing great, but we hit, you know, just those middle school years, and I started noticing that one of our daughters was just struggling a little bit with her identity. You know, it's a shift. You're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to fit in with school, with your friends. You're just trying to figure life out. She wasn't doing anything terrible. I just started to realize my voice wasn't the loud voice in her ear anymore. There were other voices competing with what was important in her life. And I realized that there was in the balance a change in who was going to be her social identity. Parents, can I tell you, from the bottom of my heart, because I hear so many parents say, I raised my kids in the church, what happened? Can I say that if your child's social identity turns to the world and before the church, that's cause for alarm right there. Don't wait till they're far. Don't wait till they're too far out of reach. When their social world is not the Lord and his church first, that's where we intervene, and we started praying, God, what do we do? How do we help her? How do we encourage her? How do we make sure that the path stays straight for her before it gets too complicated? And we prayed and prayed and really didn't know what to do. And then I'm not one of these people that has dreams every other night. I'm not like that. But I do believe the Lord speaks to us and helps us. And I went to bed one night with that prayer in my heart. I just said, Lord, show me how to help her. And I had a dream. And in the dream, she was off to the side, and we were all talking in a room of people. I was talking with my husband, and she was off to the side, and she was struggling to breathe. She couldn't breathe. There was just, you know, she was just really struggling. And I noticed it, and I would just keep talking, and I would notice it more, and I would keep and then I finally started saying, does anybody, like, should we do something about her? She's having a hard time breathing. Should we? But there was no real concern, but I kind of noticed it. And I woke up from the dream and instantly felt the Lord saying to my heart, intervene. You need to step in. She's struggling. Sometimes your students, your kids, your young people, they don't even know what to do themselves, right? But they know they're struggling. And you almost don't want to call it out. You almost want to hope that everything just works out. But in that moment, I know the Lord said to my heart, call it out. Help. And so John and I started talking about it. We started praying about it. And we decided for 1 year, we wanted to homeschool our daughter. We're not homeschool parents. Like, that's not our background. Up north, there wasn't a big homeschool community. Here, there's a much better one. So it was a big decision for us, and we thought, well, we wanted to be, you know, in agreement. So we prayed that the Lord would soften our heart, and we went to speak with her, and we said, would you let us just take the pressure off of you for 1 year? Would you let us homeschool you for a year? And with crocodile tears in her eyes, she looked back at us, and she goes, if that's what you think I should do. Because she wasn't too far off yet. She wasn't out of our reach yet. Her heart was still ours. And so she said, if that's what you think I should do. Now, granted, I'm not much of a homeschool mom, and she says she didn't learn a thing that year. I don't know. I mean, it was mostly online. I tried. But we went to P.F. Chang's a lot for lunch. We did. We bonded. But that year, if I could now look back to the time where I was asking the Lord to show us, I had no idea how that year would plan her course, change her course. Her identity became in the Lord. The church was first. God began to give her gifts to use in the church and youth ministry. Her identity was solidified. She's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't know that she knows all the countries in the U.S. of A. I really don't. But I do know this. Her life is the Lord's. I'm so sorry. Her life is the Lord's, and she is traveling this summer, ministering in camps as a worship leader. And I just praise the Lord for setting her course. Redeeming her. Listen, we can't wait. You can't figure it out later. Lord, by your presence, show us now what to do that we don't lose through our very fingers the opportunities that you give us to do what you've called us to do. Sometimes we have so many things that we're doing, we miss out on the true yeses that God wants us to accomplish. So he'll help us to set our priorities. His presence will go with us through our lifetime. And then thirdly, God's plans are practical. Listen, they're practical. They will help us daily. You know, one of the things I love about knowing Jesus, my family, our background is out of Catholicism. So in Catholicism, you have to do enough good things so that you can go to heaven. That's kind of how you feel, you know? That's the premises of it. If you can be good enough, then God in his goodness and love will get you to heaven. And then you get to know that there's more. So my family comes from Italy. So we actually had American evangelists that came to Italy and evangelized all the villages in the area. And my family became evangelical. We came to know the Lord. And so when we left Catholicism and really got to know Jesus, it took us from trying to be good to now having a relationship with Jesus where we know we can go to the Father through Jesus and he hears us and we have a relationship. And then we can even go a step further and have the Holy Spirit actually walk with us day by day. Actually help us. It's like having a friend who you can go to and say, what do you think? What should I do? And the Holy Spirit truly helps us. That's one of the things I love about right now. We're doing a Holy Spirit emphasis in our Wednesday night. Wednesday night are our most important services of the week. It's our most important service of the week. And we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And what I love about it is that he actually comes close and he walks with us through our lives. God's plans are very practical, and the way that he helps us to be practical is he gives us the Holy Spirit to walk with us and to direct us. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, it says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So if all things are okay, if there's a range of gray area that we can do these things, but they don't help us, how do you know what should be your yeses and what should be your noes? It's the Holy Spirit. It's he who directs us and lets us know what his will for us is, what he wants us to do. We need the Holy Spirit to direct our path. The Holy Spirit will whisper direction and insight into your day at home, into your day at work, as you go along the way. You know, just because we avoid doing the wrong thing doesn't mean we're doing the right thing. just because we take out the wrong doesn't necessarily mean we're doing the right. Just because we're sitting here today on a Sunday morning at Marlton Assembly of God doesn't mean necessarily that we're fulfilling what God has placed on our heart and life to do. So the only way to know that is to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Make the yeses so clear that my no's become that more evident. Here's a leadership principle for us. I don't know if I believe it, but it's a leadership principle. For every yes, there needs to be 10 no's. Can you imagine? For every yes that we commit to, there needs to be 10 no's. That's a lot. But I'll tell you this. I can tell you when we decided to homeschool for a year and that became our yes because the Lord put that in our heart, there were a lot of things that we had to say no to during that time. It was a season, but it was for that time. It required a lot of no's. Here's a couple of tips on saying no. Once you determine what the Lord wants you to do, when it's not something he's asked you to do and you know it doesn't fit in with what you need to do, say no kindly, but say it quickly and clearly. It'll be less disappointment. I don't know if you're like me, but if I'm asked to do something, I'm from that, you know, I guess maybe it's that generation that's supposed to say yes to everything. You ask me, that means I have to say yes, right? But here's the thing. I feel so bad saying no that instead of saying yes or no, I'll just procrastinate. And I procrastinate, and I procrastinate, and by the time you come back to me again, I now feel so bad that we've gone so long that what do? I say yes. So say no quickly and kindly so that there will be less, more clarity and less disappointment. You may need to say no to some things that you really like to do. Maybe some of the yeses are because they're fulfilling something you want to do. Something that makes you feel happy or young or, you know, whatever. Maybe something you like to do needs to be a no because that's not what the Lord is asking you to do. A lot of times I felt in my life, and maybe you have too, where you're trying to determine the yes and the no's, and all the while you already know what you should be doing. Does that make sense? You're trying to ask and figure out, oh God, if you just give me an audible, but you already, the Holy Spirit's already told you what you need to do. And so sometimes I'm asking this, and God in his mercy will even remind me, you can do this, but guess what? You're not doing what I've asked you to do. So if I'm going to commit to that neighborhood, whatever, but I can't find time to be with the Lord in the morning when I get up, the Holy Spirit's already trying to tell me what I need to be doing. So today I pray, I challenge us that we would already listen and say, okay, Lord, I know you want me to do this. He's so good to remind us that we don't have to always be over here trying to figure it out, but we say, in obedience, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, Lord. There's some big tags in our life, right? Money. How do we say yeses and no's in the area of money? It has to be the Lord's. For us in the Wegner family, we have two girls going to college. And our heart's desire with the Lord, if the Lord is willing and he can bless us, is to help them as much as we possibly can. So that yes means we're going to drive some old cars. And that's okay because we know our yes. Because we know why our yes is, it's okay if we don't get the car that we want right now. Money's okay if we know our yeses. What about health? Health is a big one for us too, isn't it? Sleep, rest, healthy eating, exercise. I wish it was something that was a one-time deal. Did it? Check. I'm good. But it's not. It's daily. Our rest, our sleep. But the Bible tells us that we have to take care of the temple of the Lord. It tells us that we need to give attention to that. So if I can make that my yes, maybe some other things have to be no's, so that I can fulfill the yeses. Can I challenge every mother in this room and every non-mother in this room to simplify, simplify, simplify? We make things so complicated for ourselves. You know, John and I love to have people over to our home. We love entertaining. But for me, that means cooking. I've got to cook. I've got to make it. It's got to be the best they ever had. It's got to be special. It's got to be authentic. Buy a dessert? You're gonna buy a dessert? But see, that's not what the... There's no one in my experience has ever come to me and said, your dessert changed my life. I never. It's never happened. But I can say this. I think some lives have been changed by just being in fellowship with us and coming close and loving on each other. So I need to let that go. I don't know if it's my upbringing or my pride. I don't know. But it's not important that I cook. It's important that I say yes to what the Lord has for it. So simplifying is what the Lord actually wants us to do. So a question for this morning as we get ready to close. What are we doing right now that we don't need to be doing? Right now that we're doing. What are we doing right now that we don't really need to be doing? What steals my time? Is it Facebook? Is it just having a girlfriend that I had to chat with? What right now steals my time away? And what values am I not doing right now that I need to prioritize once again and say, these are my yeses because the Lord has asked me to do this. His presence is here with me. His Holy Spirit reminds me that these are my yeses. How can I reprioritize those if I've let them get confused with all of these other things that I'm doing? Can we ask the Lord today to remind us what He wants us to do and to evaluate the season that He has us and say, Lord, in this season, right now,